Deuteronomy sets before us everything that Moses feels is extremely important and needs to be repeated, because the children of Israel are now about to go into the promised land. And a good many of them weren't there back at the original giving of the Ten Commandments and the other laws that the people were told to obey. And so Moses is taking opportunity to a little bit rehash of the history. Here's where we've been. This is what God did on the way, and the things that were done, and how God showed himself to you so that you would learn to trust him and obey him. And so on the verge of their entering into the land, Moses stands before them and goes through a number of things that he feels it's important for them to hear once again. And as I looked at this and examined it, there were a couple of things that just kind of jumped out at me that still have real valid application for our day and time. First, the ten. Turn to Deuteronomy. You could turn to Exodus chapter 20, but I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. And here indeed you will hear his repeating, not verbatim, but pretty much what we know and what we understand as the Ten Commandments. Generally, when we look at the Ten Commandments and hear somebody preach on the Ten Commandments, they go to Exodus 20. But here he is again, standing before them and sharing with them. And at verse 6, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandment. Lost my place. Oh, there it is. You shall not, verse 11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gate, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Now, you may think, why in the world read that? Well, friends, it's still valid. There is nothing there that has been negated by anything that has followed. God still wants us to obey those 10 commandments. They're not 10 suggestions. They're not 10 principles. They are commandments. And commandments are to be obeyed. Sometimes we have not done a very good job of holding fast to the truth of what these say. Don't have any other gods before me. Someone may say, well, we don't take anything and set it up on a shelf and bow down to it. They still do that in some countries. Thank you. There are still things that come into our lives which sometimes take priority over what we owe our God in His worship and praise. And friends, guess what? It can be anything. Anything that takes priority over the worship of God and honoring Him and holding Him in the esteem that He deserves is an idol. Now, someone may take a bit of offense at this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's still true. Sometimes folks allow family to become more important than God. Now, that's not to say that families aren't important. Please don't misunderstand that. But I've known of cases and I've seen incidents in family dynamics that led the family to do something instead of honoring and worshiping God. We must be careful. Taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, automatically, I think most of us think that that's saying something, you know, with curse words. You know, and I don't want to eliminate that. But I think what God would have us to understand about who He is as a holy God is He is to be held in esteem and not... Well, I guess the best way to illustrate it is sometimes you'll hear someone in referring to God as the man upstairs. Now, I don't know about you, but that greatly offends me. That just greatly offends me. That is attempting to lower God to our level. And that to me is taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the Sabbath because everybody knows that Sabbath is Saturday. And we're not our seventh day brothers and sisters. And hey, we even have a seventh day Baptist group that they prefer Saturday. You know what Paul said? When you worship, worship. You'll look carefully in Acts. You notice that they were going every day to the temple in those early days of the church. But you know, we worship today on Sunday because it's the day of resurrection, the first day of the week. And I think that, you know, the point is, without berating it, we are to worship God. We are to take time during the week to worship He who is worthy of our worship and our praise. I'm not going to reiterate the others too much. They're pretty plain and straightforward. But I want to pick up on something that Moses says in verse 22. Look at that again. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountains out of the midst of the fire, that's Mount Sinai, the cloud and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And notice this phrase, and He added no more. And he added no more. Now, I don't want to suggest that, you know, there are not other rules and regulations and laws that are to be followed. But I get the sense when I see that, and Moses, you know, writing that under the inspiration of the Spirit, I'm convinced that what God was saying was, if you do these, you won't have to worry a great deal about the other things. If you'll hold on to these and be obedient to these, the other things that crop up won't be such a big deal. You'll be able to handle them too. You know, by the time Jesus came along, the Jewish rabbis and the priests, they had so added on to the law of God that I don't know how anybody could be religious, worshipful, with all the restrictions. You could only go this far on the Sabbath. You know, you couldn't do this kind of work. They had so, they had so legalized it that it was almost incomprehensible about what they are, what they were supposed to do. And I love that comment. I mean, that just jumped out at me when I read this. And he added no more. Do with these. Be obedient to these. Take to heart what these say. You'll be all right. The 10. Now the 1. 6th chapter, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with God, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. This is known among our Jewish friends as the Shema, which is hear, the word hear. The reason I bring this one back up is because this one came up in the life of Jesus when he had a discussion. I don't remember now if it was with the religious leaders. I guess it was one of the religious leaders who asked, you know, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And the guy said, Jesus said, well, you obey the law. And, you know, I've done all these. And then he said, what is the great commandment? What's the most important thing? And this is what Jesus quoted back. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, I don't expect anybody to ask this question. I only ask it rhetorically. But do you love God that much? Do you honor God that much? Then there's an aspect of that I realize we've really faltered on. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, they ought to just infiltrate every part of our lives so that we don't ever miss what God is wanting to do and how God is wanting to use them. And when we love Him with everything we are, and that is the kind of thing will do. The 10, the 1, the many. Next chapter, verse chapter 7. Begin in verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. And you're probably thinking, well, why would you choose that? And why call it the many? Well, of all those peoples of the world during that day, God chose initially one man, Abram, who became Abraham. And you know what? It wasn't anything that Abraham had done that held him so much above everybody else, except this one thing. He was obedient to what God asked him to do. What did God ask him? Abraham, I want you to take your family. I want you to go to a place that I will show you. Now, Abraham had no idea where that was. He wasn't particularly knowledgeable, perhaps, of even what part of the world it would be. I mean, how far it might take him. But he obeyed. He obeyed. So, you know, it wasn't anything particular about the Jewish people that was so outstanding that God said, I love you. But he was keeping his word out of his grace. He chose Abraham because he simply was obedient. And he made a promise. And here's the greatest news that I can give you today. God keeps His promises. He doesn't change His mind. You know, next week we don't have to look for a different way to be saved. It's the same. The Hebrew writer says, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. God grace actually is to the many. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then, when one responds in that way, you become the people who are holy to the Lord. You become what God desires because He loves you and He's keeping the promises that He made through Jesus Christ to you and I. God sends his Son into the world. Turn to Paul's letter to Rome, the 9th chapter. Where I think Paul is thinking back to this very thing. Chapter 9. Let's start at verse 9 of this chapter. For this is what the promise said. about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. Now you'll remember that Abraham is 99 years old, and Sarah is 89 years old. It's a little late to be thinking about children. You might be thinking about great-grandchildren about that time, but not children. Remember, Abraham's comments were, she's too old. I love what God's response was. Is there anything impossible with God? Verse 10. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's promise of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, that is God. Verse 12, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Verse 16. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Friends, the only reason we sit here this morning is because of the mercy of God upon our lives. Father, we thank you this day for all that you have done for us, for all that you mean to us as the sovereign of the universe. And Father, as we have opened the Word this day, we have discovered again that we are to obey the commandments that you have given. That even though it was to the Jewish people, there has been nothing to negate them to this day. We need them in what they say. Oh God, how we've discovered that we may be lacking in how much we love you. For it's so very difficult to give every aspect of our being over to all that you are. We would just say, forgive us, oh God. Help us, Holy Spirit. And then to discover, Father, that it wasn't because the Jews were such a great people or anyone before them or since, but just your mercy. Your mercy calls out because you sent Jesus, because of your marvelous grace through his finished work. We have this day the opportunity for eternal life. Life with you throughout all, well, time will end. It will be no more. It'll just be eternity. Thank you, God, for loving us so. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come and pay the price we could not pay. Death would mean an end. But Jesus gives life. Thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.